New day, new you. Wake your ass up. Only strong, strong, strong. Monday through Friday.
Fucking gratitude.
Be mindful. Listening to May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from me, J.B. Smooth. What was that? You hear that? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever thought you heard a noise? I mean, maybe it sounds like someone called your damn name, you know? You kind of tilt your head and get completely quiet. You tell other motherfuckers to shut the fuck up for a minute. I heard some shit. Try to see if you can hear it again. But your ass can't hear that shit again. You want to know why? Because that was opportunity calling, and that motherfucker opportunity never called twice. I mean, why should it? Do you know how many people are waiting for opportunity? Everybody wants that damn opportunity to stop by. So why the fuck shouldn't it call your ass twice?
I feel like that's just a saying, though. I feel like opportunity, people get more than one opportunity. That's just one of those sayings people say.
People say it all the time, Miles.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to leave opportunity a fucking voicemail or some shit like that. You know, because sometimes opportunity ass don't got time to be giving you fucking opportunity. See? You fucked up.
Yeah.
You think opportunity don't have its own fucking interest and shit to do? Opportunity took time out of opportunity's own life to fucking give you opportunity. But you didn't want said opportunity. You fucked up, fuckface. I hate to use that word sometimes, but sometimes it come out.
You know? Referring to me as a fuckface
or
opportunity?
Not you. The person who didn't take opportunity seriously.
Yeah.
Isn't that about life, TT?
Me personally, I take opportunity very seriously. But sometimes I don't got time for opportunity. So what I'll do is I'll cook opportunity a dinner, right? Mm-mm. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Do something nice for opportunity and tell opportunity I'll be back. And then opportunity be right there waiting for me because opportunity is like a beautiful woman.
I like that.
You leave opportunity at dinner and tell it it'll be...
No. I cook some dinner.
Yeah.
Drop it off to opportunity.
Oh.
Tell opportunity I'll be back.
So you bring like a casserole or something over to opportunity.
No. You bring collard greens. Mm. It's like baked chicken.
Oh, shit.
Opportunity needs to be fed. It's not going to happen for you out of nowhere. Opportunity has to have a feeding ground, see?
Right. So you want to raise opportunity's cholesterol.
I said baked chicken.
I didn't say
pork collard greens. I said collard greens.
Yep. Well, then those aren't collard greens.
She said rotisserie. Dude, that motherfucker takes time. And she got to roll and turn and shit, dripping off all the fucking fat. And the fat of the fucking chicken drips down into a pan and shit. See?
Yeah.
That eliminates all that fucking cholesterol.
Opportunity just want a kale salad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With some lemon juice and some olive oil.
See? Yeah. See?
Opportunity is one of those yo-yo dieters, maybe.
Sometimes opportunity makes reservations.
Right.
There's something wrong with that. Sometimes opportunity is so fucking organized that opportunity calls early and says, hey.
Sometimes opportunity just want to be talked to.
They want to be fucking talked to. They want to make reservations and shit. They want you to know they fucking coming. But sometimes your ass ain't aware that opportunity coming because you ain't fucking...
That's why you got to prepare. That's why you have to prepare for the opportunities.
You got to prepare.
You prepare, right?
Yeah.
And then when you ready, opportunity ready for you. Sometimes opportunity be there and you ain't ready.
You're damn right. You missed
it. That's true. You missed it.
Because your ass was preoccupied with some other bullshit.
Shenanigans.
Woo! Distraction, text your ass that earlier that day and see what you were doing after work. Instead of ignoring the text, you know, you fucking respond with, shit, I ain't doing nothing. See? When opportunity hear that shit, woo! Opportunity feel like he ain't fucking with you. You ain't doing shit.
I'm telling you, opportunity is a beautiful woman.
It is. It fucking
you gotta treat it right. Gotta treat it right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you've been talking about updating your resume for months. I mean, you've been meaning to get back to working out, doing shit like that. You were thinking about taking your good-ass looking coworker up on that after-work drink. Shit. Hell, maybe your ass been thinking about spending more quality time with your goddamn family. But when distractions, cute ass sends you a text or hits you up on social media, your damn ass gets taken.
So now you're talking about distraction is the enemy of opportunity.
You goddamn right it is. You fucking right it is.
Distraction is a fine ass man.
Mm-hmm.
Distraction. That's
a lot of attractive. I didn't know they both were so attractive. Oh, okay.
The big D.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, wait.
The D stands for distraction. Not
right.
Right. Okay. Dude, but I know what you're talking about.
Miles, it's the same. What Tiffany is saying, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think they call? That's what they call the D. Distraction.
Right.
Distraction stick.
Distraction stick. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Everybody look at it. Everybody want to know about it. It's the number one search thing on the internet. The D.
So could you be in a polyamorous relationship with distraction and opportunity? Just get a three-way going and just be busy doing nothing?
Doing a little bit of something and a whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I know people like that.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't do polyamorous relationships, though.
She don't fuck around with that kind of stuff, Miles.
No. Well,
I don't do that.
I don't know. You got this fine man and this attractive woman. They're both texting. I don't know. It just seems like it's two trains about to collide.
Yeah, but opportunity don't got time for the D. Opportunity likes medium.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We got the distraction part and we got the opportunity part.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity to be fucking distracted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
See, now you caught the fuck up.
Yep.
See, opportunity exists, but it doesn't always come knocking at your goddamn door. Now, opportunity to me is more like a goddamn ice cream truck.
No.
You never know when it's going to ride by, ringing that goddamn bell, but when it does, don't fucking miss it. Nothing worse than your mama giving you a fucking dollar and you're running out fucking side of that motherfucker. Keep on driving. Goddamn it, that's something.
You got no shoes on. You ain't got no shoes on.
Got no goddamn shoes
on. You ain't got no shoes on and you chasing it.
Yeah. Because your mother had to give you some lecture about asking for money and shit you didn't do. And then all of this, by the time you get the money, it's
give
gone.
You extra stuff.
Yeah.
Extra shit.
I'll chase the ice cream truck three blocks.
Until you catch his ass. He going to stop. Yeah. He going to stop some other kids and
that's
shit.
That's why I'm where I'm at in life. Because I will chase down opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I believe you.
Yep. You have you got your money ready? You know what the fuck you want? And be careful of oncoming traffic.
Mm.
Now, don't let distraction distract you from what you want. And whatever you do, don't buy distraction some fucking ice cream. Because distraction don't deserve a goddamn thing.
No toasted
distraction
almond.
Distraction got their own money. They can buy it they sell.
Yeah. Buy what the fuck they want. Let distraction mama give him a fucking dollar and let him buy his own goddamn ice cream. Don't you cater to fucking distraction. Get you all caught the fuck up.
You done, JB, with that all of that stuff?
Mm.
I gotta say, you have met your match this today. You've met your match. That was the longest opening I think you've ever done. You have
we broke
met
that
your
shit
match.
Down.
I
we
know.
Understand each other.
I sense that. Well, you know what? Hi, I'm Miles, and thanks for joining us for a new day of May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from JB Smooth. In each episode, we discuss a quote from a daily calendar to see if JB can squeeze even more wisdom and inspiration out of it. Now, normally you're just stuck listening to the two of our voices, but today, clearly you hear we have a treat for you. Joining us today is quite simply a queen. You know her from turns at blazing the stand-up stage to seamlessly moving from comedy to drama on the big screen. And whether she's writing, performing, producing, or from time to time even singing, this force of nature's immense talent and innate beauty creates a spectacle that you can't take your eyes off of. With that, our introduction, there can only be one person. Please welcome someone who has most certainly at some point experienced the title of her most recent film, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, Tiffany Haddish.
Thank you. Morning breath.
Yes. Woo-wee. And I had coffee too. Tiffany, just to prep you, in a bit we'll be deconstructing a proverb, but before we get to that, while doing this podcast, we've noticed that while some of our listeners seem to glean a lot of enlightenment from JB's unique take on complex quotes and proverbs, there also seems to be a need for JB to offer out his very special, specific brand of advice on some personal and day-to-day issues of our wonderful listeners. So, Tiffany, please help us as we now present some of our listeners' questions in a segment called Ask JB.
All right.
Love it.
All right, this one comes from Melissa, longtime listener, first-time podcast advice listener. Our 12-year-old dog loves our 8-month-old baby so much. It's really sweet, but how do we get him to stop licking the baby? What's especially gross is the dog goes right for the mouth. We try to stop him, but he always goes back to slobbing all over the little guy. I should say that the baby doesn't mind it at all, but it's gross. It's just a matter of can't teach an old dog new tricks. Thanks in advance, Melissa.
I've seen this shit happen over friends' homes and shit like that. I've seen it happen face to fucking face. I've seen it fucking happen, man. Okay, Melissa. Now, look, I love dogs and all that. But do you understand that shit is nasty? Babies are so fucking vulnerable. They are vulnerable as shit, you know? If someone sneezes 2 blocks from your house, you had better hope your goddamn window was shut or else your baby gonna catch that fucking cold. Colds and shit like that. Seek out babies and shit, because babies, their immune system ain't fucking full yet. Dude, it ain't maxed out yet. It be catching shit. That expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, was made up by husbands looking for some shit to say to their wives. Well, why they're not fucking romantic? I'll tell you right now, you better teach Mr. Peoples or whatever that goddamn dog name is, stop licking your motherfucking baby. Now, here's what the fuck I say, dude. You take that baby. Now, you can tell me if I'm fucking right or wrong. It's a good fucking idea.
And Tiffany, you're a dog lover.
I know what to do. I just want to hear what Jamie
okay,
got
all right.
To say.
You take that fucking baby and you put Vicks Vapor Rub on that little motherfucker. And I'm telling you, dogs don't like the taste of Vicks Vapor Rub. You rub that shit on the baby's fucking neck. And see, here's twofold. One, you keep the fucking sickness from your baby's chest, because Vicks Vapor Rub is fucking great for keeping the fucking phlegm and fucking cold from your baby, because it's breathing in the menthol. And when a dog lick that shit, he don't fucking like the taste. A goddamn Vicks Vapor Rub. See?
You're preventative and proactive. That's very preventative
fucking
and proactive.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
Okay.
Two things at one time.
And it's still good for cradle cap, too. Put it on his head.
Mm-hmm. See? Vicks Vapor Rub.
Right.
Dogs don't like that shit. They lick that shit, and then they shake their fucking head, and they don't do it again.
Babies aren't too crazy about it either.
But they got to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Now or fucking later, because they're going to get sick at some point. At some point, that fucking baby going to have a runny-ass nose, because that's what the fuck kids get, a runny fucking nose.
I don't know that Vicks Vapor Rub is something you can apply daily. I think it would burn through a baby's chest.
What the fuck do you mean you can't apply it daily? You open the bottle, put it in your fucking hand, and you put it on the fucking baby.
You physically can do that. Tiff, could
you help? It's not going to burn a baby's chest. It actually might be. That's actually a good idea.
Okay.
But here's another idea that I saw on the internet that might work. That I think you could teach a dog. I don't care how old they are. You take a baby dog, right, and get like a fake dog or something that look like a dog, and then let the dog see the fake dog lick the baby, right? Like make it like it's licking the baby, and then punch the fake dog and let the dog see that. And the dog gonna be like, oh, if I lick a baby, I might get punched. They might not do it.
Ooh.
I've seen that on the internet. Now, I do not condone violence, especially on animals, but on inanimate objects.
Yeah.
What if the dog saw that and called ASPCA on you?
First of all, if the dog can call ASPCA, the dog needs to be on TV.
And that motherfucker's smart enough to stop looking at that goddamn baby when I say stop looking at the baby.
He loves the taste of babies.
But in actuality, what they should probably do is once the dog is probably licking the baby because it smells baby food or milk on it. So once you feed the baby, don't put the baby in a position to be able to be licked by the dog, and make sure you wipe the baby down.
Right.
And the dog won't lick the baby because it's probably milk on the baby, or it's spit up a little bit and the dog wants to clean that up.
See, Mom?
That is sound practical. That is probably the most
sound practical advice
we've ever had on this podcast.
See, we solve issues and problems. People need
to change the baby's clothes.
Fucking you're right.
By I'd say Tiffany solved it, but
yeah,
it's solved. It's solved.
She solved that shit.
All right, keeping in the dog theme, this one comes from Lydia Jane 9876. Mm-hmm. How do I clean my skittish rescue dog's paws when they're covered in mud?
Oh. I'll tell you what. I need to hook you up with Melissa, right? The last advice we fucking gave, see? So that now you can get her orally fixated dog to lick your dog's paws. See that? Now we're killing two birds with one goddamn stone. Hook you two up, right? Let your fucking dog lick her goddamn dog's paws and shit. That way you won't fucking make your dog skittish. Because sometimes dog ain't skittish from other fucking dogs. See?
Right.
It gets skittish from your ass. See? And more than that, though, why the fuck are you walking that goddamn dog in the fucking mud anyway?
Yeah.
Steer the damn dog clear the fucking mud. Oh, put some fucking shoes on that motherfucker, man. I got doggy shoes and shit. They call them motherfucker doggy galoshes. They cover the fucking paw, and the dogs walk around with fucking shoes and shit on. Or the little plastic booties and shit they wear when guys come to work on your house, and these dirty motherfuckers walking in with their filthy-ass feet and shit. And you say, put the little shit on your feet for you don't track mud and dirt to my goddamn house.
Tiffany, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I got a few things. There's two things. You could leave like a pan, one of them casserole-type pans of water at your front door, and had a dog walk through that casserole pan, and then take a little towel and wipe their feet off. Right. You could do exactly what JB said. Don't walk the dog in the mud.
That would seem good.
How about
too.
That? That's very simple. Very simple. But maybe you live in a place that's muddy and you can't help but to walk the dog in the mud. So, like he said, get him some galoshes. You know, some doggy galoshes. I mean, JB was correct. Otherwise, get you some baby wipes and wipe them paws down.
Yeah. And work this motherfucker. Get some motherfucker skittish and shit. First of all, you get him out of that skittish shit. And nothing worse than a skittish-ass dog. That shit drive me crazy. This motherfucker all skittish and shit.
They get that from their owner, though. Yeah. Usually, if they skittish, they owner skittish.
Right.
The dog it's just picks a couple up of nervous. Your energy. It picks up your fucking energy, and it reacts the way you fucking would fucking react.
It's one of those situations, every time the doorbell rings, the dog and the owner look at each other like, who that? What that?
Who fuck is that?
Yeah, it's a lot of...
Both of you motherfuckers need
anxious energy in that house.
And you both licking your fucking goofy-ass paws and shit. Stupid-ass goddamn owner.
Keep both of them away from the baby.
Now, if the dog is always licking their paws, and their paws ain't dirty, and they always licking their paws, there's two reasons. One, there's a thorn in it or something's in their paw. Or two, they got parasites.
They got parasites.
And they got stuff for that.
Yep, and the dog is walking in the mud on purpose because he's trying to relieve the motherfucking itchiness.
Yes, exactly. Don't get me started. Exactly. Because the mud will draw the parasites out.
If Conan O'Brien is listening, new show, Tiffany's Pet Advice or Tiffany's Dog Tips. That's a podcast right there.
Well, no, Tiff Tips.
Tiff Tips.
I know more than just animal stuff, too.
Well,
I know a lot of things.
Well, there you go.
Especially about parasites. Now, what you could do with parasites is you get you some turmeric powder and pure spearmint gum turpentine. Not the turpentine to take paint off the wall, but pure spearmint gum turpentine. You make a little paste out of the two of those and then put that on their feet, and that'll kill parasites.
What?
Yep.
And rosacea and eczema and wingworms.
And it stop these motherfuckers from licking babies and shit. See?
Well, I don't know about that.
Don't put that on your baby.
Yeah, that was just a tack on. You tacked that one on, JB. I didn't think.
No, I'm saying they'll be so preoccupied with their fucking stinking ass paws and shit, they ain't got no time for licking fucking babies' faces and shit no more. See?
Well, there you go.
These motherfuckers.
And that ends our Ask JB segment, our now award-winning Ask JB segment. Ready for the quote?
Bring it.
All right.
Bring that shit.
And now onto our quote. Today's quote comes from the calendar, Keep Calm and Carry On. You see, you are an optimist and live on hope. I am a pessimist and I live on experience. And that's from Malcolm Bradbury. You see, you are an optimist and live on hope. I'm a pessimist and I live on experience.
I like to say it back sometimes, Tiffany. You see, I say this shit as more matter-facty. You see, you are an optimist and live on hope. I am a pessimist, and I live on experience. I'm almost bragging about my shit, see? I'm not putting you down, but I'm bragging about me being a pessimist, see?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you where you are, and I'll tell you what the fuck I am, see? And when you say these quotes, people got to get it. They got to understand that shit, so you got to speak to the people out there, people.
Right, but I don't understand it because I am an optimist, and I live on experience.
Well, let's say we have to take a break. Tiffany, you seem like you're already 1 foot in. Let's take a moment, let everyone process, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to May I Elaborate, Sound Wisdom from J.B. Smoove. The quote we're looking at today is, you see, you are an optimist and live on hope. I'm a pessimist and I live on experience. I'm sure JB's got a take on it, but I tell you what, right before the break, Tiffany was already into it. So I'd say whoever wants to start.
Tiffany, be my guest. This applies to a whole lot of shit people out there listening to this amazing podcast, Sound Advice from JB Smooth. And we want to help your asses. So today, we're going to dive in hard today. We're going to get you out of that fucking rut you in.
Well, I personally am an optimist, and I also live on my experiences, okay? If I was not able to survive the things that I have survived, I would not be an optimist. I would be a pessimist, and I'd probably be dead. So, personally, I like to look at situations, the hardcore things, and find the beauty in it. Because everything has some sort of beauty. If not beauty, pure comedy in it.
Fucking right. You know?
And focus on that, which begets me more beautifulness and wonderfulness.
Fucking right.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you how this is what the fuck I'm going at with this shit right now. People out there in the fucking podcast world. Now, at first glance, this quote would have you believe the fucking world is divided into two separate types of people. Optimist and pessimist. No. People who see that glass half full and people who see that fucking glass half goddamn empty because somebody done put their fucking lips on this shit and drunk half the motherfucker. But I'm here to offer you a different way, you know, to group people. Those who been there and those who ain't. Or more to the point, fucking young ass, know-it-alls, and fucking old ass, know-enoughs. God damn it, Miles, that's fucking profound shit right there.
You a genius.
Goddamn know-enoughs. Their fucking glass is fucking full. They just don't want to learn nothing else. They setting their motherfucking ways. They ain't changing.
Preach.
Woo! See, young people tend to be optimists. And that's good. I mean, if that young person has been encouraged by a good person in their life, they're fucking fortunate because they wake up every morning thinking everything is fucking possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these young ass dreamers don't need sleep. These motherfuckers don't sleep. You don't see cartoons and shit. And the motherfucker got his eyes open. He got two fucking toothpicks holding his fucking eyelids open. I love that shit when I see that shit on cartoons. I'll be fucking dying laughing. This motherfucker cares. His fucking eyes got toothpicks holding the motherfuckers open.
Dangerous. I wouldn't recommend
it. No. What do you mean dangerous? It's not fucking dangerous. It's cartoons and shit. They can do what the fuck they want to do.
That's true. I'm just saying for our listeners.
But that's not saying people can't do it. You're saying people can't put fucking toothpicks in their eyelids and hold their fucking eyes open?
Tiffany's been kind of an expert in it. Tiffany, can people put toothpicks in there to hold their eyes open?
Well, you can do it. It is going to cause some kind of like infection and or stigma. What I would suggest is you get some tape, which I do often, and tape it from your hairline to the top of your eyelid up in here.
Right.
Like that right past your eyebrow.
And yeah, keep your ass open watching a fucking movie or some shit.
I'll be tired.
Sometimes you want to watch a whole fucking series and shit. You got to binge watch some shit. You want to binge watch some shit? And I'm not talking. See, you're talking about regular ass toothpicks. I'm talking about the fucking toothpicks with the little fucking stream of shit on the end that they're putting pastrami sandwiches and shit. Those motherfuckers right there are perfect for holding your goddamn eyes open. Not the regular ass toothpicks.
But that's perfect for giving you an eye infection if you got pastrami juice on it.
Your eyelid is going to be a pastrami sandwich and shit.
Yeah, that's going to be painful, bro.
Yeah, I think I created this.
I get the tape.
Roadblock. Yeah, I don't think either one's great, but back in JB, so I'm sorry, I interrupted. Toothpick and cartoons and eyes open and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So these young ass dreamers, they don't sleep, can eat what the fuck they want to eat, can live up to five with five fucking roommates with no goddamn problem because they all fucking get along and loving any goddamn trouble and shit. Partying and shit, having fucking rent parties and shit. Remember fucking rent parties? Motherfuckers couldn't pay the rent. They have a fucking party. And everybody comes in the door and puts fucking money in the goddamn basket and it pays the fucking rent for the next goddamn party. See? These little motherfuckers are fucking geniuses. People don't do rent parties no goddamn more. They do mortgage parties and shit like that.
Which is kind of genius too because then at the end you own it.
Yeah, fucking definitely. Right. Definitely.
See, there need to be more of a trend of called mortgage parties. See? So people can group together and own some shit together. And we all keep paying this goddamn mortgage and we share this motherfucking house. You get the fuck out when I come and I get the fuck out when you come. See? But we own this goddamn house together. And it's a business move.
That's called timeshare.
Fucking Tiffany, goddamn it, you on page to, let me tell you something. Innovative. Thinking. This fucking woman right here, what the fuck she talking about, Miles?
Right now.
If he, These little motherfuckers can eat out of a refrigerator filled with foods labeled with people's names on the motherfucker, expired ass milk and old ass containers and dirty fucking dishes and clothes every goddamn where. Stepping up all the motherfuckers' underwear and shit. These motherfuckers can function using a filthy-ass bathroom and have no goddamn problem skateboarding 12 miles of goddamn work. Because they got one strong-ass motherfucking leg. That right leg is strong as shit. Skateboarding and fucking work. Like goofy, goofy motherfuckers.
You know why they legs strong? Because they don't clean the bathroom, so they never sit on the toilet seat. They got to squat. They squatters.
That's insightful. That is a good-ass
that's
point.
That's why they legs
yeah.
strong.
That's what I'm
got
talking
about.
They got some good, strong booty cheek muscles.
Got to hover, yeah.
And despite the fact that having to endure shit like that would break an older person's soul, these optimistic motherfuckers sit around at coffee shops all goddamn day investing in crypto and NFTs and shit as they tell you they'll have enough money to retire when they fucking 27. These motherfuckers.
So getting back to the quote, you see, you're an optimist and live on hope. I'm a pessimist and live on experience. So where you began is that you, with youth comes, if you're lucky, if you have people in your life that support you, with youth comes an optimism that allows you to plow through anything. Like you get older and you're living with five roommates and you're eating, you know, expired food and you would be a pessimist, but you're young. So you're still optimistic. You have hope. Whereas Tiffany said,
what is considered young and old? What's that? What, 35 is old?
JB, what's young and old?
Motherfuckers who passed listening to what the fuck people think. That's fucking, that's when you fucking, your mind is old. Some of us get old before they goddamn time. They stop listening to motherfuckers early.
Right.
See? Mm-hmm. And they've been having success or they fucking fail like a motherfucker because they refuse to listen to shit.
So that even goes to what Tiffany said. I think you stay young because you stay optimistic and you stay hopeful.
Well that's Tiffany.
Look what you did to Tiffany,
not,
by the way.
Let me tell you something. I'm not that hopeful. I'm a strategizer, okay? I strategize and I execute. But I'm not a pessimist either. And I don't do a whole lot of hoping. I do a whole lot of strategizing.
Okay.
See, there's a way of thinking about this shit. And this is going to help people. This is going to help people figure out who the fuck they are. A lot of motherfuckers don't know who the fuck they are yet. And you don't want to get to the point where, one, you don't get the fuck to the point where you don't give a fuck who you are. But
yeah.
At the same time, not knowing who the fuck you are is one thing, but not giving a fuck who you are because you feel like you passed your fucking point of fucking learning and everybody can fucking still learn. You can achieve any fucking thing you want to achieve. You just got to have the right fucking mindset. God damn it.
Preach.
People out there, get your mindset right. Understand that age ain't nothing like a motherfucking number. Work on your shit. Listen once in a fucking while.
God, I got carded yesterday.
Oh. See? Fucking amazing. See?
And did you have did you have your card on you?
Nope. Didn't even have my ID on me.
Shit.
I feel like I'm grown. I had to show them some gray hairs.
These motherfuckers. See, I got carded one day, but it was for my fucking AARP card. I said, you motherfuckers. You motherfuckers. Ever do that shit again to me. See?
Yeah, I tried to buy a wine cooler. First of all, if I'm buying wine coolers, that should tell you right there I'm old.
Yeah.
You old.
Bartles and James.
I tried to buy some booze for her. They talk about needs to your ID. It's
yeah.
I was born in the 1970s.
Hello. They had to blow the dust off the wine cooler to even get it to check the expiration.
Yeah, it was ace perfection.
Yeah.
So I'm a realist bitch. And see, so when I say older, I mean 40 and up. I gotta like land somewhere.
Okay, you're saying a number, but I still think rather than your number, I think I like what both you and Tiffany were saying. It's not a number. It's a state of mind that creates the old and young. But
people, it is state of mind. But some people can't help but think like that.
Right.
But at the same time, in over 40, you have seen some shit. Young motherfuckers haven't seen enough shit. You know what I'm saying?
Unless you over 40 and you've been in jail. Like I went on a date with a dude the other day that's over 40. 43, been in jail for years. He done.
Yeah. He missed a lot.
He missed a fucking lot. His mental maturity is not
it,
where it right.
doesn't mean, but you said he didn't see. He's seen some shit, though. It's just a different shit.
He's seen some shit.
Yeah,
sure.
It's some different shit.
Different shit. He's seen shit that you gonna need to know if you go to fucking jail. Right. We need to tell you some shit that you ain't fucking, you ain't privy to this shit until someone who's privy to that shit tells you some shit that you ain't privy to.
Yeah, he just
I use the word privy sometimes. I like the word privy.
I like that word privy as well.
So we are like the character Quint in the movie Jaws, that beat up, scarred up, smelly ass looking man has been through shit and has some fucking stories. Now that's a motherfucker who got fired from the cable company for side dealing free cable to fucking customers and shit. That's an individual who went to Vegas with the money his in-laws loaned him to pay back the fucking cable company so they wouldn't press charges. That's a motherfucker who, after all that, cheated on his goddamn wife with her sister. The same goddamn sister who said in her maid honor speech, that motherfucker ain't shit. It's a dude like that. That's lived a life. This motherfucker lived a life. That's a motherfucker that listens to your plan, scoffs the fuck at it, and then tells you, you're going to need a bigger boat. And trust, you better listen to his ass.
So you're saying the type of person who has made all the wrong choices in life and then wants to tell you don't try shit because you're going to fail because they've made all the wrong choices.
This motherfucker talks you into talking you out of shit. See? You know what I'm saying, Tiffany? He's talking you into out of shit. See?
I know that person.
If that makes fucking sense.
I know that person.
Mm-hmm. See,
I had to evict him out of my life.
And I think that's in the quote, I am a pessimist and I live on experience. So that's somebody who just is just bitter and isn't accountable for the horrible choices they've made and then wants to block your dreams, wants to make you a pessimist as well.
Man, I'm telling you, that is it in a nutshell.
So you've covered both sides of the quote, JB. Tiffany has to leave. She can't be here doing this forever. So how do you end this thing?
We understand, right? Because we are continuously on our journey through this shit we call life. And we want motherfuckers out there to get what the fuck we're saying through elaborations. See? And sometimes if you elaborate on shit, people get it better. Miles, it sticks to their ass.
Yeah.
See? In other words, you need going back to the fucking Vicks vapor rub and shit. Sometimes you need to smell life on you all the fucking time so you know you alive. And motherfuckers need to smell that Vicks vapor rub on you to know that you alive and you fucking living your motherfucking life. See? That's the kind of shit that motherfuckers need to fucking know. Your fucking odor, your goddamn odor should bleed off. Tiffany, if I'm fucking wrong, tell me. I smell you right now through the podcast.
Yeah, I'm Vicksing it. I got Vicks vapor rub all over my face right now.
Fucking right. Motherfuckers need to smell you constantly. That's how life is. They don't need to be all up on you, but they should smell your odor floating around, and they should smell the Vicks vapor rub, which is your motherfucking work ethic, your fucking life, your fucking love, your fucking everything is that odor off.
Got
their
nose open. Got their nose open. Preach. Preach, brother.
Hey, you ever go to a party? You ever go to a fucking party? And it's one motherfucker dancing, doing a fucking running man hard as fuck. This motherfucker musty as shit. But guess what? Everybody looking at his ass because he getting all the goddamn attention because this motherfucker mustard!
But is that always the attention you want, though?
I'm just
you
want
to be that guy at the club.
But he putting in work.
But you don't want to be that guy at the club.
This motherfucker is giving it the fuck up. You hear me?
Yeah.
I know
you're
saying,
Miles. Never gonna forget him. Never gonna forget him.
Tiffany, please, Tiffany. Please elaborate on this shit, Tiffany. When you see a motherfucker when I dance for a dancer, you know who it is. And you look at him.
And you go, look at that fool. Look at that fool over there. Killing it. Got the whole club funky. He is the epitome of funk. I'm never going to forget him when I see him. Even if he fresh and clean, I'ma still smell the funk. Cause I'll never forget the day that mug came in there, did the runner man, the cabbage patch, the troop, did a backflip, housed it out, and did 2K Swisses and said, booyah, sexual chocolate, he killed it.
Yeah. You will not forget him. No.
You, Because it's in your clothes. You can't wash it out.
You know, you never forget because the motherfucker gave you a hug and left that shit assaulted your shoulder. Yeah. Okay? See? You had to burn that shirt you was wearing.
You goddamn right.
Because that motherfucker's stank was so real.
See? And we use that, Miles, as a metaphor. You give off a fucking natural, fucking a visual odor. Not just a fucking a senses, but your fucking smells. You hear this motherfucker stink, and you see his goddamn stink. And that's what the fuck motherfuckers need. People need to see you doing great things. That smell, we're talking about that fucking musty shit. That ain't but a metaphor, Miles. Right. That's a metaphor for fucking success. For all the things you want in your motherfucking life. That fucking attention, that shit that people need to see you doing shit. Yeah. They need to hear about your shit. Not always smelling your shit. We use musty as a metaphor for fucking life.
I get it. You could have, there were many options for a metaphor. I didn't know that funk should be success. But I get that it's putting in work, though. This guy put in work. I get it.
I ain't never met nobody who didn't put in work that was funky. Only people that put in work be funky.
Mom, okay. we talking metaphorically speaking here. That fucking Cabbage Patch. That goddamn Running Man. See? That's putting in fucking work.
Like, and in real life, they don't smell like must. They don't smell like mustiness. In real life, they smell like success.
God
like
damn it. Money. Woo! See? Like Miles, some
they
people get that
like
shit.
The ink that prints up the dollar bill, baby.
See, some people get that shit.
Yeah.
Some people get the shit. You think there's not one motherfucker on that at the fucking mint making fucking $100 bills who don't get musty once in a while when his fucking arm is rotating and making that fucking machine print that fucking money? There's one motherfucker on that goddamn line who's musty than a motherfucker.
Yeah, maybe in
That's my man.
Maybe in 1872 when they cranked a press, JB. I think it's automated now. But I get
your point. Who gotta watch that shit, Miles?
Yeah,
it's a person who gotta watch that shit. Now, although, see, there's two ways to look at this shit, Miles.
Yeah,
this motherfucker work at the Met. He fucking making money while he making fucking money.
Fire!
If life don't get the fuck out of my face right now,
tell it.
Miles, see, you gotta understand this shit. You gotta submerge yourself in this shit, Miles.
Yeah, yeah.
You better stink. You better goddamn stink out there in this fucking world.
I'll try.
Make motherfuckers turn around. Make them turn around and look at you and say, God damn it, that's how the fuck you do that, bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I
do every day.
Y'all don't got us going now. See, we can't hold y'all forever out there in podcast world.
No.
We trying to fucking fix you motherfuckers.
So wrap it up, JB. Put a bow on it.
God damn it. Here's the thing. I don't want you to think I'm taking sides. I think the world needs both kinds of people. Young ass optimistics who know it alls and old ass know enough pessimists. Now one moves us forward and the other keeps us safe. One looks at an eagle's egg in a high ass in a fucking nest high atop a mountain and says, "I'm gonna climb that shit and get that egg for us. That's my hope." And the other says, "Are you sure you got this? That shit high as hell." And not to mention, from my experience, I wouldn't fuck with no goddamn eagle. You see that? Hope talking into experience. And then while that first one hopefully climbs that mountain and grabs that goddamn egg and says, "Look at me. Look what the fuck I'm doing." The other one knows from experience not to make a sound as that eagle comes swooping in. And angry as fuck decided to make a fucking beeline straight to your ass. Instead, that protective goes straight for and attacks that young ass know-it-all. Instead, that protective ass eagle goes straight for and attacks that young ass know-it-all, causing him to fall to his motherfucking death. And later on, that old ass know-enough pessimist is eating the fucking eagle egg that he was able to pry from his young ass fucking optimist hand. And all there's left for him to say is, "I try to tell his ass." Isn't that what fuck life is all about? Motherfuckers who try to tell your ass some shit and you don't fucking take it. You don't take that shit. You don't fucking take it because you fucking know a goddamn enough. Or Your ass don't fucking believe what the fucking person is telling your ass. You see, hope and experience, they need each other. Just like Luke needed Yoda or Robin needed goddamn Batman. You've seen plenty of times watching fucking the old Batman and Robin show, Ma. You seen that shit?
Yeah.
Fucking Joker or the goddamn Riddler catch these motherfucking time to fuck up. And they fucking talking to each other while they fucking tied the fuck up, trying to figure out how to fuck get out of these goddamn ropes and shit before the fucking clock run out. And the fucking Joker tosses our ass through a bucket of goddamn acid, fucking our goddamn uniforms up, these fucking fly ass goddamn costumes and shit. And now a pessimist and an optimist can coexist. You know why? Because, so get ready to write this one down. Experience is the mentor of hope. God damn it.
It's beautiful.
Pretty.
Fucking right, it's fucking beautiful. Miles.
The eagle stuff was confusing.
Miles, let me tell you right now. I know we're in podcast land, and Tiffany, but if you don't smell me right now, it's something wrong with you. If you don't smell this.
Get tested. If you can't smell right now, get tested.
Get fucking tested. I mean, make sure your nose working. Take some fucking Vicks Vapor Rub and rub the bitch under your nose. Make sure your fucking sense is working. If you don't smell me right now, something wrong with you.
Well, I just want to say that was incredible. It was like church. I felt like it was BB and CC Winans today. You guys were, you made the point. Tiffany, I don't know. I don't think JB's ever connected with a guest more than he connected with you. You guys were symbiotic.
That's how we fucking do it, Miles.
Well, I want to thank everyone. Oh, JB, did you want to talk to Tiffany while I do this?
So going back to the goddamn...
Thanks for joining us another episode of May I Elaborate. Sound wisdom from JB Smooth. I want to give a special thanks to Workman Publishing for letting us borrow from the calendar. Keep calm and carry on. But I want to give an even special thanks to the incredible Tiffany Haddish. As always, we hope you had a good time and maybe we even inspired along the way. Before you go, please leave us a comment along with a great review and rating on Apple Podcasts. And also, please leave your favorite quotes and your questions for Ask JB there as well. Or you can send them to us at mayielaborate@gmail.com. We will definitely be looking at those and featuring them on the show. Also, be on the lookout for some special celebrity guest friends. You heard one today. Wasn't this wonderful? This was wonderful. Clearly, you can hear those episodes are always a lot of fun. And tell a friend about our podcast, why don't you? Don't be stingy, keeping it all to yourself. Once again, I'm Miles. He's JB. And she's Tiffany Haddish. See you next time.